Good afternoon, Kalispera, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Nicolas and Capital Link for providing me with the pleasure once again to moderate the panel of ship owners. Before I start, I would like to recite a quote from an ancient writer of Proverbs, Latin writer. He said, "Anyone can hold the helm when the sea is calm." To me, this means that it takes great captains and great leaders to hold the helm and keep the ships afloat during a global macroeconomic crisis. With this, I would like to welcome our panel, consisting of a group of dynamic Greek ship owners. We have Dr. John Koustas, Mr. Evangelos Marinakis, Mr. George Economou, Mr. George Prokopiou, Mr. Thanasis Martinos, and Mr. Nikos Tsakos. Welcome, gentlemen. And I'm Sophia Kalamanidis. I'm an EY partner that has the pleasure of calling Greece my home, but my broader responsibilities include capital markets leader for Central and Southeast Europe, and responsible for exit strategic solutions for Europe, Middle East, India, and Africa. Gentlemen, do you know in aggregate you represent about 15% of Greek ship owners and 2.5% of international or global shipping, a very impressive group of panel members. Now, having you captive on stage has tempted me, and I have to confess, to ask a lot of questions. But I know Nicolas has put us on a time limit, so I will try to keep my questions to the time allowed and hopefully leave some time for our audience to ask some questions. Okay, now. The past 5 to 6 years have been a difficult period with current day ship owners really having to manage the headwinds of the economic crisis. It's been the worst since the 1980s, it's probably the longest running period. So I will start our first round of questions to Thanasis and John. The question is size important to be able to survive the current challenges? And we heard earlier in the panel around consolidation, is consolidation in the industry a solution? I'm sorry, John?
Well, size is definitely important. First of all, in order to have a meaningful market presence, if you are a small company, then you will have difficulty in developing relations with the people who control the cargo. It's important because, you know, with size, you are able to have significant economies of scale. Although, after a certain size, of course, economies of scale are really marginal. But I think what is really the most important for the, let's say, survival of a company is a proper capital structure. And to a certain extent, Greek shipping has always succeeded because it relied in equity to a large extent. And this is probably the reason that during, let's say, difficult times, during times that one has to be counter-cyclical, Greek ship owners have managed to increase their presence and reap the benefits when the cycle changed. When we talk, of course, about size, when we talk about, let's say, public companies, size is extremely important to have access to capital markets. Small companies today are unable even to list, not alone, let alone to access the equity or the bond markets. And in this respect, one should, it's this doesn't mean necessarily that small shipping companies will not survive. You just need to be present and target the areas that small companies can operate in niche markets where size is of secondary importance.
Thanasi?
I think the size of a company, especially the size in a sector, let's say tankers, is quite important to in today's difficult markets because you get preference from charterers, you get preference from brokers, you have a bigger market presence. We are a medium-sized company, so sometimes we face this disadvantage of not getting the preference. For example, when you have more ships and fewer cargos, you can understand how important that is. On the other hand, I also think that flexibility is an advantage, and except size, you have to have in a shipping company, you have to have spread among various types of ships. You have to have a portfolio of more than one type of ships. This is also evident today. Dry bulk companies, who are purely dry bulk, face a disadvantage. If you have a mixed fleet, tankers and dry bulk ships, at least you do a better average. Consolidation in these difficult times among companies, especially among green companies, is quite difficult because the finances, financial conditions are different. The culture is very different. As we know, Greek companies, even public companies, who are controlled by individuals, they are more, they depend on the major owner. I think one way of consolidating is pools. So we have seen some of the smaller owners join bigger pools of various types of ships. In our experience, sometimes these pools do not produce better results than individual owners, perhaps because the management is a bit more like civil servants, let's say, it's a bit more indifferent. But in any case, for owners who have not the expertise of chartering, certainly one way of consolidation is for their ships to join pools of ships, tanker pools, product tanker pools, even container. Some of these pools of ships are successful. It's also for the financiers of shipping companies, it's reassuring. They think there is an umbrella for the income of the ships.
All right, thank you. As a continuation to this theme, for a question to Nikos and Evangelos. So if in order to be more successful, given the issues that are being faced by the shipping industry, does it make more sense that you're operating your own vessel, you're putting your vessels in a pool, or you're actually giving the management of your vessels to a third party? I mean, is there an advantage of actually creating a different plan or a mix?
I think that for an owner to control the commercial and technical operation of its fleet is a key of success, is the key for success. And I think that is very important for the charterers and also for the banks to know that the owner is controlling the process. I have seen over the years many companies that also they were listed and they have third-party management. Also, they have their ships in different pools. Of course, when the conditions are not right in our markets, we don't see these companies surviving, and or they have faced a lot of problems. I think that is very important for a charterer, especially for a big charterer or an oil major, to know with whom he is fixing, who is controlling the ships, and in a difficult situation, or where you need to be flexible, or you need to face various problems that can arise in our industry, they need to know with whom they speak, if he is bankable, if he what the reputation is, and they should act accordingly. I cannot. I find it very strange when a charterer or a trader, over a period of time, is transporting billions of dollars worth of cargo, not to know who the technical manager is, or who is controlling the commercial process for the vessel. And as far as we are concerned, we are doing all this, and this is a key of our success, because we do repeat business, or for the continuity, it's, I think it's extremely important. It goes without saying.
Thank you, Sofia. And I think before I start, I would like to, again to congratulate Nick and Olga and the team for another more than full house from New York to Athens and all over the world in London. I think I don't know what the secret of success. Perhaps it's the free food or the market is very bad, so people have something to do. But I think this is another unbelievable crowd, and I hope most of you are shipping people and not people Nick brings from the street. But again, Nick, congratulations. It's very impressive for that. I agree with Vangelis before that branding is very important. It's like in the hotel business. People would not just go and stay at any hotel. I mean, they will choose either a Westin hotel or, let's say, when the market is better, one and only. Or so you need to know that your cargoes are being carried by someone who has the brand that you can trust. And that's why I think all these faceless technical management companies, which I think we all support and we know that they play a huge role, is need to have a figure presence there running the ships. However, also I agree with Athanasis, that I think we are in a fragmented industry, mainly in tankers and dry, and I think pooling is a good it's a good thing going forward. I mean, we need to try and have one voice in order to control the supply and demand as much as we can, and not be undercutting each other from that. So I think there's a combination. On hands management is very important, but I think pooling will be getting more as we grow forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next question is for George Procopiou. Because of the prices of vessels being at lower, usually you would expect that this is a great opportunity for investors to really buy assets. And if that's the case, is there a particular sector that is more attractive to make investments in?
Thank you for having me here. Congratulations. Always you are surprising us with the number of participants. We are not very often on panels because of choice, but this effort and in these difficult times to show our presence and our dedication was something that made me to participate. But I have to allow me to expand before going on this, because this is a very narrow question. First of all, I see a great agony from bankers and owners, what is the future of shipping in Greece. So I would like to say that for the last 4,000 years, 5,000 years, Greece was the center of shipping. And you go to Santorini, Akrotiri, or in Delos, and you find the ship owners' houses with frescoes, with anchors, with ships carrying goods. So don't worry, shipping will stay in Greece and will continue. The history of 4,000 years guarantees that this will remain a shipping center, no matter what small waves we have. Secondly, the tunnel in shipping, as always say, the tunnel is not straight. It's not a tunnel that is straight and it's dark and you don't see the end of the tunnel. The tunnel of shipping goes straight and suddenly has a turn, and suddenly you are in the light. No prediction ever was correct. And prior August 2008, the consensus was that there are no enough shipyards to cope with the demand of tonnage. So everybody was trying to build more shipyards to cope with the demand to. So shipping market collapsed, not because of ship owners, not because of ships, not because of trade. The market collapsed because the collapse of bankers and banks, that they have taken positions that they were unsustainable, having less than 1% equity in the positions that they were taking. So this was a failure of banks and changed the outlook. Now, as far as what need to be done? Specialization, competitiveness, so to be specialized in a certain field, to be competitive, to have very lean but reasonable running cost, to go in niche markets, to have quality service, that your clients to be satisfied with your service, to have innovation. In shipping is, we have seen the demise of ship owners from sail ships to steamships, from steamships to coal ships, to turbine, from turbine to diesel, and diversification. It's very important to, with one leg you have a certain stability, with two you have, if you have a third, fourth. So these are, in my opinion, the prerequisites. How you do this? With hard work, consistency, and faith. The market will come back on any type of vessel, and you must be there. We are saying that shipping is a volatile business. No, it is the most stable business, because it's stable in, it is in its instability. So you have to know that the shipping is like that, and is stable all the way along. The instability is the volatility is how you can make profits. So timing is of paramount importance. And now I come to your question. That what to buy? Buy anything that is cheap. I would say anything that floats, because now almost everything is very cheap. Be able to sustain it or make your arrangements. The banks have now to show their belief in shipping. Now is the moment to help the owner. The owner that bought a Cape at 100 million can buy now one at below 20, and the average to come to, and if he buys second and third, and the owner is the only person that can look after the asset, the best solution. I was hearing about workouts and all this. So no analyst, nobody knows anything. 3 years ago that I had problems, and 4 years, they were about 25 bankers in a meeting to see what is the best solution for me. So one, in order to tease me, said, if I give you now 150 million, what will do? And I'll say, I'll buy as many as can VLCCs. They started laughing. Everybody was laughing. So nobody knows. And only continuation, dedication gives the result. Now it is the time for the dry cargo owners to buy very good, cheap, second-hand, always second-hand, always second-hand. always second-hand. As for other sectors, it's approaching the offshore supply vessels, but we need a couple of years for that. Tankers, it is a question mark. If you ask me, I believe very much that the world will be continued to need oil, although gas is competing very much. I don't know what will happen, but it is in the on the balance. But and don't think that what shines is always gold. The LNG carriers spot market below $20,000 today. So 3 years ago was a big rush. Ah, you did the right thing. We bought, let's jump on it. So timing is of paramount importance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is for George Ekonomou. It's around, we had the panel before with the bankers around alternative routes to open up to financing for shipping companies and ship owners. You know, I think in most of the events that I've gone to, I've actually learned what banks really are looking for. But what are ship owners thinking of when they're actually looking for alternative means?
Sorry, when they're looking for what?
Alternative means of financing. What other means are there other than?
Well, the majority of the financing has to come from banks, and it will continue to be so. Alternative financing can be extremely expensive. A lot of people talk about private equity. Private equity is not financing. Private equity is equity. It's difficult to find alternative financing to replace the banking that is supporting shipping today. And one of the reasons is that if there were to be alternative financing in such amounts that it would be significant enough to make a difference for shipping, it would have to be extremely expensive. Expensive financing is not good for shipping because the results, the equity returns on shipping traditionally have been very small. Whether you call it, if you exclude the super cycle of 2004 and 2008, the average return on total capital employed in shipping has been, and I'm talking about blue water, bulk carrier, and tanker, it's about 7%. So you need to have low financing, especially because the gearing is not what it used to be. So most banks will lend anywhere from 30, 40 to 60, 65%. So you need to have small, low cost of capital to enhance your returns. So I don't believe there's going to be abundant alternative financing. And if you're talking about industrial projects, the returns there are quite small. So I'm afraid we have to stick with the banks and hope they get more, and we have to be nice to them.
Okay. Thank you, George. You know, Mr. George Procopio talked around, you know, the crisis. It's not coming from the shipping, but it's the macroeconomic environment that shipping is doing business in. So recently, some facts, the World Trade Organization has cut its global trade growth forecast for 2016 to 2.8% from 3.9%. The IMF reduces global forecasts for the fourth time this year, citing headwinds in emerging markets, loss of momentum in advanced economies, and persistent global asset market volatility under the umbrella of political uncertainty when we have the Brexit still waiting to hear the results, and of course the US presidential elections. So the first question out of this topic is to Evangelos Thanasis and George Procopio. So is the weak global economic environment the main cause for poor results that we've seen in shipping companies? And I think George kind of gave us an idea of his views. So Evangelos and Thanasis.
I think that as far as the Chinese demand, what we have seen in the recent years has affected very much the dry cargo companies. That's why we have seen the poor results that you mentioned earlier. And of course, in a way, we have seen that in the container trade, but the market has not been performing lately. On the other hand, as far as the tankers is concerned, we have seen better results as a result of the low oil price that was taken advantage by many importers. And also, even though we have low oil prices, we haven't seen any cuts on production. And of course, this helped very much the tanker companies. Of course, as George mentioned earlier, we cannot make any safe predictions in shipping. I mean, we can see what's going on in China, and we can see why some of our markets are not performing. But on the other hand, what we have seen in shipping over the past years is that there are other factors that at any time can change the markets, and of course we should be talking about different elements that has affected our market. So these poor results, of course, there is a reason behind. And also the other thing is that, which is also very important, is the lack of financing that, of course, has not helped in order to, for some companies that they face difficulties, to make proper arrangements for restructuring their loans, so they can take an extension, let's say, and the company to perform financially better during the past 2 years. So I think that both China, both the lack of financing has not helped the lack of restructuring as many of these companies needed, has added to the problems that these companies are facing with their poor results.
Thank you. Thanasi? George? Yeah.
I think I'm before Thanasi.
Okay. Sorry.
No, I'm joking. As I mentioned before, the collapse of the financial system derailed the world economy. Since then, they are trying with all measures to revitalize it. We have unprecedentedly low interest rates. We have QE in various places, lots of money. Exchange printing lots of money, issuing. Exchange rates very competitive. And above all, low energy prices, that is a direct subsidy in the pockets of the consumer. Despite all these tricks, the market is not moving. But it is like an inflatable boat. If you have a big inflatable boat, and in the past that you were inflating with a hand or a foot pump, you do, and you think that there is a hole. And suddenly, it becomes very strong and becomes a boat from being nothing. So I believe we are in the late stages of this pumping up. We have India and Africa coming very, very strong, and we do underestimate India, we underestimate Africa. So I do believe, yes, it was the financial situation, that's what I said, that created the bad market. But, and also one other very important reason was the export of democracy from the United States, which ruined all the countries around the Mediterranean. So this reduced hugely the buying power or the markets, and still they are trying to see where to go. Now it starts the old figures to be remembered with nostalgia, because they suffered so many millions of people that, you know, the best of the two evils. Anyway, I don't want to go politically now, but you understand. So yes, we are heading for better markets. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, you say here the weak global economic environment, but presently the world economic environment is an environment of slow growth, but is still growing in the West. Europe has improved, the finances of Europe have improved in the last 2 years. The area where we see slower growth is China, but is still growing at 5 or 6%. Where, of course, most countries who are commodity exporting countries, their economies have weakened and they have less purchasing power. And I want here to point out the relevance between shipping and commodity prices. When we have increasing commodity prices, we see an improvement in the shipping markets. I think there is a close relationship, with perhaps one exception, crude tankers, where the price of the very low prices of crude has increased the freight market in VLCCs and middle-sized tankers. The other reason, of course, is the of the low shipping market is the world excess shipbuilding capacity and the excess supply of ships, especially for dry bulk. But I also, I'm optimistic. I think the commodity prices have reached the low point in the cycle, and with the improvement, perhaps after the second half of this year, we may see in the, an improvement in the dry bulk markets.
Thank you.
I'm also optimistic, you know, for dry bulk market. Not over-optimistic, but at least I think we have seen the worst.
No new buildings, though, only a second.
What I'm understanding from the panel is, yes, there are certain economic, global economic trends. You know, growth is not stagnant. There is some growth there. But it does not create the momentum needed in order for the shipping industry to actually get the boost it needs. But you did mention about supply, so that let's talk around supply with the next question. The question is to John and to George Economou. So as a ship owner, are there some things you can do to improve operating results? And do you think that all ship owners have a definitive plan when it comes to managing oversupply? And how are they able, how well do you think they're going to be able to manage with the temptation of the deals that are out there with shipyards trying to sell vessels?
Well, the issue, as George said before, we have seen, you know, during the 80s that the return on equity on shipping projects was merely between 6 and 7%. That was quite uninspiring. And we have really to see where we are now in perspective of that era. We've been spoiled in the last decade with what happened in China. And you know, people tend to extrapolate very easily. The supply was projected to increase, you know, at phenomenal levels. People were talking about lack of shipyard capacity back in 2008, and we are today in a situation of shipyard capacity which is at least double of what is required in steady state for the replacement of shipping. Now, the issue now of controlling supply is really not easy. I mean, shipping is a fragmented industry, and everyone is looking at opportunities. Because everyone tries to be counter-cyclical, they will try to go and buy a ship. And the problem is that exactly today, because of the various countries' willingness to finance their shipbuilding industry, it's much easier to order a new building rather than buying a second-hand ship. And this is really where the problem lies. Countries and ECAs that are really interested in protecting their shipbuilding industry are giving terms that, you know, ship owners have find hard to resist in a number of times. And also, I mean, from a speculative point of view, it's much easier to speculate on a new building than it is on second hand. And that's where the whole problem starts. Ship owners can do very little about that, because everyone and you know, who tries, let's say, to talk the market down, you can see the same person that predicts catastrophe. The following day, he signed a new building contract. And you know, that has happened a number of times in the past. So because also there is a herd mentality in shipping, this becomes even worse. I remember back in 1983, in 1982, we had placed an order for you know, for three ships in Japan. The market was looking really terrible, and you know, we thought that, you know, we're going to have a correction. Something like 3 months later, Sanko comes with a 120 ship order, because that was, let's say, a combination of speculative ordering and Japan Inc. trying to prop up their shipbuilding industry. And then the herd orders another 700 ships within 6 months. And then everybody knows what happened. It's really very difficult. The only thing, really, I completely agree with George Prokopiou is that shipping is inherently unstable. Exactly because of that, it will always be cyclical. And one has to take that into account when taking decisions. On the other hand, because we were talking before about, let's say, everybody tends to concentrate in world GDP and growth. World GDP is, of course, one metric. But here, when we're talking about shipping, we talk about trade. And we have seen the multiplier of, let's say, trade growth compared to GDP to go from 2.5 back in the previous decade to below 1 last year. So we have to see not just, let's say, GDP, which of course is important, but trade multiplier actually is pointing out to structural differences in the way that economies develop. And that's why our interpretation of growth in the various countries cannot be taken for granted. And another point, you know, because I heard also in a panel yesterday about my friend George talking a lot about India and being very bullish about India. You know, we have an office in India for software, nothing to do with shipping, for almost 20 years. I remember from that time, from 20 years ago, that everybody was talking about, you know, a sleeping giant. I was on the way from the office going to the airport, and we were stuck in traffic. And I said, you know, what's going on? We're something like standing for about 10, 15 minutes. And I said, what's going on? He says, you know, there's a cow on the street, you know. And I said, you know, I'll just get out of the car, kick the cow to move. And they know the guy was trying really, you know, to keep me in the car because it's a sacred animal. And, you know, we should leave it stand. And when it decides to move, you know, we will pass. I think it's very hard, you know, for people with that kind of mentality to have really explosive growth. I mean, like China. Thank you.
Thank you.
One good thing is that all we have long memories, so we'll be here to see how the cow becomes a rabbit.
George Economou.
John said it right. It's a very fragmented industry, and the more fragmented an industry is, the less an independent player can do. The most fragmented is the bulk carriers, followed by tankers and so on and so forth. So I think the bottom line is you have to look at the numbers. If you look at the dry bulk carrier market, you know, we used to have 3 to 4% demand growth, which was around 7% during the super cycle of 2004-08, and it's been zero last year, and it's going to be zero this year. So I think people need to make assumptions on where trade is going or the trade they're interested in. And I'll use the bulk carriers as an example. The order book is around 14%. You have an attrition if you assume that the vessels go to scrap on average at 25, sometimes it's more, of 3 to 4% per year. So the new building lead time from signing to new building used to be 2.5, 3 years, maybe it's 1.5, one. Let's call it average 2 years. So you would need to have an order book in order to have the same supply and demand that matches the projected growth on top of the attrition of 3 to 4%. Right now, the bulk carrier order book is not big as compared to other times, but it's big if we assume that the trade growth is not going to be that big as it was in the past. So I think it's important to take a view on the future. Same goes for tankers. The order book is bigger there. And you have to look at the projection of the trade growth and any technological advancements that there may be, because this has been in a lot of sectors that may make the difference. Bottom line, given the excess shipbuilding capacity, I think we have to be restrained. And for those that are new in shipping or newer in shipping, I remember the first thing that somebody told me, a friend of mine, when I started in shipping 40 years ago, go and buy a 7-year-old ship. And at the time, it was bulk carriers. I started with one bulk carrier. At the time, it was, and still today, because the Japanese, they were using the ships for 7 years and then selling them. They were not well maintained, but it didn't matter. The Greeks were good at that. And I think it's the same thing today. You know, go buy a 7-year-old ship, and that way we will not have the excess new buildings that, you know, predominantly destroyed the market from 2000. Well, they started in 2007 placing the orders, but that's what destroyed the market.
All right, thank you. Nico, as the chairman of Intertanko, can the association play a greater role as a think tank in order to address policies? And we heard John talk about HERD, so I'm guessing if you can follow a particular policy as a group, then it will have greater momentum.
Yes, thank you, Sophia. Well, Intertanko really is a networking association where CEOs of tanker companies can sit around and discuss issues like this. However, we have not yet progressed into a trade union level, regardless of my appearance today. We are not, because there is a very big risk also that we will break some antitrust law. So we are there. We have made Intertanko in the recent, the very brief history of Intertanko. Intertanko started as a commercial organization of networking back in the 70s, following the crisis, the first oil crisis. Then it lost a little bit of its commercial side because of the OPA 90, for those of you old enough to remember, that was the big design change on ship. So Intertanko had to become much more technical. And now we're balancing it back to be a commercial association where we can sit and discuss exactly, I think, what George and everybody said. Guys, you know, the market in tankers is ours to lose. I think you all said there is growth. It is really mainly in crude. There is an inelastic model. The market only dropped once back in 2009, the demand. So between some slow steaming, if we need to do, if we can keep our appetite for new buildings low, I think we can maintain a good, comfortable tanker. So this is the message we are trying to give out to the owners. We cannot force everybody. I mean, this Posidonia is going to be painful. As you know, I think, George, you mentioned it, a lot of the yards are suffering. They're out here. They're going to be attacking us everywhere. That's why we're hiding here, trying to sign letter of intents left and right. So I like your 7-year-old, 7 years each situation. So let's stick to that. It's ours to lose. I think if we can stick down, if we can absorb the remaining of 2016 new building deliveries and part of 17, I think then we're going to be seeing a comfortable, I don't think we're going to see $150,000, but you know, anywhere between 45 and 60 on a VLCC would be something for us to continue the business, run a tight shop and give a good service and earn a return. So that's what Intertanko is for.
Thank you. I said earlier that I want to leave some time for questions, so I'm going to raise one question to the entire panels, and it's about having a magic looking glass or ball and projecting as to where Greek shipping will be in the coming years. Can we start with John, and then we can get the views of all the panel members?
Well, I think that George Prokopiou has summed it up very well. Greek shipping is a tradition. It's something that we've been doing for thousands of years, and will continue to do it for thousands of years in the future, no matter really what happens. We know that people always fight the leaders, but we are there, we are strong, and will continue to be at the top.
Thank you.
I think that tradition is very important, and also it's very important how we have grown up in this industry. We have grown up being very competitive and compete with extremely big companies, with states, and all along we know inside us that in order to be successful you need to work hard, you need to have faith, and of course to be consistent is something that you live with it and becomes your nature. So I think that Greek shipping will be there. Maybe we'll see some changes in the persons involved in this process. But I would like to remind you also that in the last few years we have seen millions or billions of dollars coming from various funds, from the US mostly, invested in shipping, in new building, in second-hand vessels, and everybody thought that the map is changing. And you saw that what the result has been, that a lot of these funds either do not exist, either they have sold, or they're not there, because shipping it's a more complicated industry than what it seems, and I think that tradition is extremely important when there is an entry point, where there is an exit, and much more important how you operate these vessels. So, to make the long story short, yes, I believe that Greek shipping will be there, and will have a prominent role, as always has been in the past years.
Let's look at why Greek shipping is big. It's big because the returns are small. Outside investors don't want to invest in an industry that has a 6%, 7%, 8% return over a long period of time. The problem was that they were carried away because of the super cycle. The Greek owners that are of age have the experience to know that the markets are good at times, but over a long period of time, you cannot have a huge return. And this is the super cycle of the 04, 08 attracted all this private equity capital that didn't need to be there because obviously they didn't make money for the most part. The tanker guys are going to make a little more, although they're looking for an exit. They can't find one because there's no seller now, because the sellers, the buyers were the Greeks. The Greeks are savvy, so they're stuck with the ships. And that's why you see the public companies trading below NAV to the tune of 30, 40, 50%. So I think Greek shipping will exist because Greeks don't have a lot of other alternatives, and they're happy. They're happy because they like the business. They're happy with the returns because there aren't many other alternatives, especially in the country. And the Greeks are not living mostly the shipping Greeks in New York or London or Hong Kong or other places where they can have different choices. And I think it will continue to be like that. So the only thing that we have to do is be very efficient, mind our shop, give the returns, let the investors, they have the access now through the public companies that were not existent 10 years, 12 years ago, to get in and out, play the game, whether it's the asset play or the cash flow, getting money from dividends, and that's a better way for them to make the money rather than indulging into the ship owning themselves.
I believe that in Greece is a tremendous wealth of knowledge and tradition, and this has to be preserved. In every cycle, we see new names coming and starting small, as all of us in the panel, and growing in the years. But we treat the assets, the ships, as members of our family. It is not steel, has names, and many times family names. We give all family names to our ships, and when we are exhausted, we are giving it to of Greek islands and places. So this wealth of knowledge should be preserved, and I want to urge the state not to do whatever they can to encourage Greeks to live even temporarily outside Greece, because we need this cluster. The effort to protect Ouzo and Feta is very important, and I congratulate. But I do believe that shipping is many, many times more important. So they should not exhaust their efforts with Ouzo and Feta.
And olive oil.
And olive oil, which Mastiha. Okay, Mastiha. All these are very good. But all together is less than one ship. What can do. So the priorities should be taken right. And as I see also the responsible for shipping for the New Democracy Party, which I don't want to change the meeting to a political rally, but shipping is above politics. Shipping is the Greek national team. Is the only activity that is on worldwide measures top, is the number one fleet in the world, the number one in Europe, and represents 50% of the European tonnage. Europeans should not envy that. Europeans should embrace, because strategically it's very important for Europe to have a presence in good and bad times, first, and secondly, to learn. They ruined their banks because they were trying to do it differently. It is not, it's one way, the Greek way. Thank you.
I think we all know that Greek shipping is very important for Europe. We are the Greek fleet, Greek-owned fleet, under Greek, Cyprus, and Malta flag is 50% of the European fleet. I think it's also perhaps the, one of the few sectors where Europe is competitive. It's a few economic where Europe is competitive. For our presence here of Greek shipowners, I will be present for many years, but we want to be present in Greece and in Europe. Will depend on the European community policies concerning shipping. I mean, they should really adopt and protect shipping to preserve their advantageous position, even from a strategic point of view. And I think everybody should do their best to persuade the European bureaucrats and who are otherwise very able to see the right things and protect Greek shipping. This is the point I have to do. And I would like also to make another comment, which is sort of gossip. I was very not surprised, it was a welcome surprise to see the invitation to the Posidonia exhibition of the Luxembourg shipping cluster. Inviting Greek shipowners, what else here in Piraeus, to see the advantages of Luxembourg as a registry, and as a, and I'm sure there are advantages. It's even considered the Euro-Luxembourg flag. However, Mr. Juncker at the time recommended to our government to tax ship owners, you know, to tax Greek international ship owners. On the other hand, they invite us now in Luxembourg, where I'm sure we will not be paying any taxes. So there must be some unanimity in the European policies, and as I say, protect Greek shipping. It's very important for our future.
Thank you.
In this respect, I want to add, Mr. Martino sent me a note that it was this invitation to go to Luxembourg, saying, Anixame, ελάτε να σας περιποιηθούμε. Σας περιμένουμε.
Ανοίξαμε και σας περιμένουμε.
And we are waiting for you. The same day that there were the announcements about a new directive against Greek shipping. So the same, from the same source, the same.
In any case, we have many suitors, which assures of our futures.
No, I think yes, that was after the invitation of Panama, I think. It is a good combination. No, I have to say I agree, and I mean, first of all, looking at the crowd here and of all generations, the future of Greek shipping in the 10 years is going to be here, you know, whatever happens. It's a matter of everybody referred to of tradition. I think it's very similar to, you know, the French have the wine, the Germans have the auto industry, amongst other things. But I think the Germans, and I know you have many German friends here, are bankers, and this nice idea of the KG that oversupplied the market with tonnage and brought the rates down, which was a very smart idea. I think Germans know as much about shipping as Greeks know about the car industry. And I think it's true. And you should... I mean, we have not had a Formula One car manufactured in Greece. We had something called the Hercules. We had three legs, three tires, back in the 60s. That's the biggest car. But it's true. Europe has to focus on its nation's strengths. The Greek strength, I mean, why do you want to come and, you know, and take shipping, which you cannot anyway, take shipping out of the Greeks? I mean, you took a lot of things out of Greece. The one thing we have, we are good, as everybody knows, it's a tradition. This day you should help, Europe should help and promote Greek shipping because it's good. I mean, we don't want to start a car factory to compete with Germany or start producing wine. So this is what Europe is about. So I think, you know, be proud, Greek shipping is going to be here, and with, you know, people like this, and I even brought my daughter of 11 to start feeling getting in the future today. I think the future is going to be around these shores. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have 5 minutes for questions, and I know there's some individuals that have questions to ask. Okay.
Joe Farakla from All About Shipping in London, now in Athens, enjoying Posidonia. I will start the other way around. I think Nikos Tsakos forgot something important. Nicholas, we are far beyond the Germans in car production and design. Never forget that when Sir Alec Isigon passed away, there was the hugest obituary in the Times of London. But then Mr. Karamalis, at the 50s, he asked them to throw the guy away. He was nuts. We are very good in this, believe you me. Sorry to remind you this, but the Mini, you know, the Rolls Royce of the actual British design car making was Greek. Okay, let's fair is fair. But I will come and pick up on Mr. Prokopiou. Mr. Prokopiou, I'll pick up on you nicely, of course. Everything you said, all of you, is fantastic. But you should also understand that there's not a cycle around anymore. We have the problem in London, BT went to India and they wake up in the middle of the night. You cannot make a cow a rabbit, there's no way about this. But I'd like you to tell you that when you entered shipping at that time and your predecessors, 50s, 60s and 70s, they've been bound to be coupled with long period time charters, and that was the product of the Second World War. In the absence of this, you can see the fragmentation that George Economou and the others have mentioned very, very nicely. Yes. So the question is, you don't need to have the crystal ball. You must be practical and understand that this absence goes ahead. There's no time charter around, period-wise. So this is important. We were 4,000 years, fantastic, that's fine, that's great. But the question is, why we don't have Greek banks to finance? They know better what they do, A, and B, why we don't build ships over here? And then you, all of you, except in 2007, you should have sold the entire thing, completely. Why sir, didn't sell?
Sir, let me put it in perspective. I started in one third of a vessel in 1971, very old and very difficult to operate. Now, in 2016, we have above 100 vessels, all modern, and in order to survive, we are cutting ice, we are doing all sorts of tricks in order to make ends meet. So there is not a recipe. And if we had sold, we would be out of business. We are here to stay. So yes, we buy and we trade the assets when we feel that sentimentally we can depart, because this is my difficulty. I have my first boat when I was 16 years old. So to sell and to sell everything out is a nightmare, just to think, although financially it's correct. So your question is why the banks are not giving more money? Because they don't have, simple. when they had, they were giving. Now they don't have, and we are grateful for what they have done up to now. There is no recipe. Each here and each person here is approaching shipping with a different angle. All angles are successful. That's why they are here. Everybody has his own method. New, old, dry, wet, container, lots of loan, no loan, partners, no partners, public market. All these recipes are recipes of success, provided that you can do it. Always the other man's job, the other man's business is the easy one. No, sir. Everyone's job is very difficult. Thank you.
Okay.
Another question, please. Only questions, no statements. Another
we can
question,
continue
please.
Afterwards.
Another question.
Call me.
We can close it then. Okay. I would like just to close the panel discussion with another quote, and this one is from Aristoteles Onassis that says, "We must free ourselves of the hope that the sea will ever rest. We must learn to sail in high winds." And you gentlemen have explained to us today, you know, some plans as to how those gusts of winds will need to go. Thank you, gentlemen. And I look forward to your continued successes. Thank you, Captain.